It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Millions of Americans suffer from chronic lower back pain. The World Health Organization says that it is the single leading cause of disability worldwide.
New research from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health shows that mindfulness interventions or cognitive therapy, also known as talk therapy, have led to lasting improvements for adults. These study participants were managing their chronic back pain with opioid medications.
Dr. Bruce Barrett is vice chair for research and a professor of family medicine and community health at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He's among the authors in this recent study about chronic back pain. Dr. Barrett, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks, Kate. Very happy to be here.
Before we dive into the research, let's talk about lower back pain. How common is it for people who don't know what it feels like? Can you describe the symptoms?
This is a condition that I think almost every adult has had at some point. Usually it's transient. Pain can be very mild or moderate or severe. For others, it can become more chronic to last sometimes for many years. Quite a common condition.
In this particular study, you enrolled 770 adults in this trial conducted in Madison, Boston, and Salt Lake City. Who were these people and what were you finding from them?
So they were patients at medical facilities who had longstanding chronic back pain, that was severe enough that they had to be taking an opioid medication regularly to help control it. So generally older adults and all with some level of impairment of function from their pain.
Walk us through the trial. What else were they doing to help manage this type of pain?
So that varied across the people, depending on their healthcare system, their doctor. They might be seeing a physical therapist. Some people might be seeing a mental health counselor to help them manage symptoms. Some were employed, some were unemployed. So a wide variety of life situations. All of them had a medical care, so they had medical insurance and already were in a healthcare system.
And so can you walk us through? This sounds like a more holistic treatment approach because there's a certain type of talk therapy involved.
Yeah, probably the most common and well-researched and substantiated type of talk therapy is called a cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT. And it's just a way of helping patients work through the different ways that the pain or dysfunction might interfere with their lives and to figure out ways to best manage it. So it's a very pragmatic approach, and that's what's recommended for patients with this condition. We were testing that against the newer mindfulness-based therapy, which is mindfulness training helps people become more aware of their thoughts, emotions, bodily feelings, teaches some meditation practices. So we were really comparing the standard way of working with group therapy. Both of these arms of the trial were done with groups. And we're comparing the standard, well-validated method with a newer, hopeful method called mindfulness-based therapy.
So if mindfulness involves us becoming more aware of our present moment, not, dwelling on the past or projecting into the future, how does that apply to back pain? Because someone would say, Dr. Barrett, I don't want a heightened awareness of my chronic pain right now.
That's an excellent question. How it seems to work is that by training yourself to be able to be in the present moment, noticing feelings, noticing bodily feelings, but also mental feelings and thoughts, you're able to accept them and to remind yourself that you're free to make your own choices, that you have had these symptoms before, that last time they were this bad, you were able to get through it. We don't train people to focus on their pain and to feel it more. Instead, we train people to be more aware of and therefore have more control over how they respond to the present moment.
How can we learn to listen to our bodies and perhaps pace ourselves or pull back when there are signs that the pain might become unmanageable? Are we just not listening closely enough to some of the signs?
Well, what we've found and what other groups around the world really have found is that it requires practice. So there are a number of fairly standard meditative practices. One of them is called body scan, where you will find yourself in a lying down or sitting position and then progressively notice sensations throughout the whole body, like starting at the toes and going up the legs. You can spend 5 minutes, 30 seconds, or 45 minutes doing a body scan. You can also do breath meditation, where you focus the awareness on the inhalation, the exhalation, the expansion of the rib cage, the contraction, how you might feel it in your mouth, nose, or throat. By practicing focusing of awareness, over time, you can develop more control over how you react, and you can become more aware of when things happen, and that you don't need to react habitually, but you can actually make decisions about how to react to things that are coming at you, such as pain.
What might those decisions entail? What might be your choices in that moment?
First, remind yourself that you've had it before and you're getting through it. Second, notice if there is something that you can do to relieve it now, to not be taken over by the pain, but instead to make a choice, such as lying down or stretching or just taking a breath. What a lot of patients with severe chronic pain have found is that when it's really bad, it takes them over emotionally as well as physically, and they get deeply stuck in the present moment. With mindfulness training, you can learn to become unstuck. The pain doesn't go away, but it doesn't bother you as much.
Were these mindfulness sessions done at their own homes on their own time? How did that work in the study?
Interestingly, the study started before the pandemic, and all of the group sessions were in person with either with a cognitive behavioral therapist in the one group, or with a mindfulness based trained therapist in the other group. So they were in person halfway through. Then along came the pandemic, and we transitioned to virtual meetings for both groups. In which people would be doing it at home. In addition to the two-hour session once a week for 8 weeks, in group session, people were asked to do the practices at home outside of the group. And that was true for both the CBT, the standard therapy group, and the mindfulness group.
Does the outcome of this particular trial change the way physicians like you might prescribe to patients or help to manage the pain?
I think it should. What our main findings were is that people in both groups got dramatically better. They had lower pain scores. They had lower disability scores or interference with daily activity scores. And they used less opioid medications. That was true in both groups. And it was both statistically significant and clinically significant. The amount of benefit was real and appreciable in both groups. What we didn't find is that one was better than the other. By comparing statistically the groups to each other, both groups got much better. What this does in medical practice is allow another option. So the CBT standard therapy option was already there and was already evidence-based. Now we can say that the mindfulness training is just as good as the standard training, and therefore, in my opinion, should be made available to patients as a choice.
But how do you prescribe mindfulness?
That depends where you are. Here in Madison, Wisconsin, we have a fairly large mindfulness opportunity, a set of mindfulness opportunities. We have a sangha of a dozen certified mindfulness instructors that work with the UW. We have the Center for Healthy Minds that Richie Davidson started that has done much of research. We have lots of individual practitioners who do both group and in-person mindfulness training. In many other communities, maybe most communities around the country, that wouldn't be available. So I think it really depends on your location.
We're talking about one of the most common ailments in America, lower back pain. Dr. Bruce Barrett is with us, family physician and a professor in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He's one of the authors of a recent study showing how mindfulness and cognitive behavioral therapy sessions can improve symptoms. Dr. Barrett, when you talk with people who have chronic back pain, these patients, how do you talk to them about their thoughts and what they think might be able to influence that physical pain and cross over between emotional processing and the actual biological symptoms here or the effects of the pain?
It depends on the patient. It's a really good question, and it's a complicated one. In my opinion, different people can benefit from different things, and the pain can come from different sources, and it might impact different parts of one's life. So in family medicine, which is what I've practiced for two or three decades, we try to first learn from the patient what is important to them. Why do you want your health? What is this condition, in this case, chronic back pain, to you? How is it impacting you? When? Under what circumstances? Are there other factors that might be exacerbating it? Or are there factors that might help alleviate it or help give you more control? So it takes a fair amount of discussion, and it really needs to be individualized. I think both the standard cognitive behavioral therapy and the mindfulness-based therapy can be effective, are effective, but in different ways for different people. So I think it really should be individualized and made as available as possible.
People experience pain at different levels. You know, their pain threshold might be different. How does that factor into treatment when you look at the avenues of mindfulness and cognitive behavioral therapy?
Well, the severity matters a lot, and so does the duration or the chronicity, whether it's intermittent, recurrent, or whether it's the same every day. It matters a lot what's causing it. You know, if what's causing it is a job where you're lifting 50-pound bales all the time, and physical therapy and CBT therapy, mindfulness therapy aren't helping, well, then maybe you need to remove the insult of overuse. In many conditions, it's underuse. People are afraid of the pain and are reluctant to do the type of physical therapy, strengthening and stretching and mobility training that can really be helpful. So, again, it depends on the individual.
And with that, what is the next step for this research? Where would you like to take it next?
We would like to see if the effects last over time. This trial followed people for a full year, which is unusual and a long time. But with somebody with a condition that could last 5, 10, or 20 years, it's not so long. So we would really like to know if it goes on, if the effects go on longer. I would like to know if booster sessions can be helpful. Meeting once every 6 months in group to check in with practices, for instance. How about combining things to two different types of therapies together, give more than one alone? There are numerous research questions awaiting our future.
Aside from this research and this study, how can people in general preserve their back to prevent future back pain and keep it healthy?
Strengthening and flexibility. So yoga, for instance, there are many kinds of yoga and many different types of positions and exercises, but some of them are really good at engaging the core muscles, both the external core muscles that you can feel with your fingers, the abdomen and the back muscles, and then also the deeper muscles, the iliopsoas muscles that go along the spine. So different types of exercises that you can learn from a physical therapist can allow you to strengthen those muscles so that when you do get an insult to your back, it doesn't throw your back out. Most of us spend too much time sitting in chairs and not enough time with physical activity. And so we don't have strong enough core muscles. Flexibility also, stretching is crucial, I think, to maintaining a healthy back.
Dr. Barrett, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. It's been a pleasure.
Dr. Bruce Barrett is Vice Chair for Research and a Professor of Family Medicine and Community Health at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, author on a recent study about interventions for chronic lower back pain. It was published in the journal JAMA Network Open.